I found that song a few weeks ago. It's by the Redeemed Quartet, and I just thought, you know, why am I up here? We could play that song and go home. I mean, because it's really that good, and it just sort of grabs me. Well, I don't know about you, but I love quartet music, and that one grabbed me pretty hard. It indicates in that song, they're all on a journey. Your journey is not like mine. You started the same way, but your journey is not like mine, and mine's not like yours. Those things that trouble me, those things that encourage me, those things that bless my heart, maybe are different than what encourages and blesses you. So the subject for this morning, I think I bit off more than I could chew, but it's called What Happens Next? And you can take that just about any place you want to go. But what happens next? I trust John 14, 1-4. And it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. So there is a place for every child of God. There's a prepared place for a prepared people. So what's preparation look like? Well, I used to fly a little bit, and one time I went to Spain and to the UK. But just think of this. When you're going to go someplace, clothes, are they ready? Toiletries, are they packed? Suitcase fastened. Hotel confirmed. Ride waiting. Boarding pass downloaded. Water bottle, smartphone, journal, pen, check, check, and check. You have to do all those things. You got to be ready. So then, why don't we have to check ourselves up a little bit? What have I done that fits me for heaven? I've got my passport, but that's where it starts. There's a lot more than the passport. There's a whole life to live. So I looked at many scriptures and asked myself, what's the point? Well, I believe I needed to be more forward thinking instead of backward thinking. How many times, and I'm looking back a lot right now, and I promise I won't melt down, but I look back at 70, I was accepted the Lord 72 years ago. And, I started going to prophecy a little bit. And that's sort of like cotton in your mouth. The man said, the more you chew, the bigger it gets. And so I had to cut off someplace. And so I'm only going to give you just some maybe gentle reminders this morning. I'm not a preacher, so I'm not here to preach at you, but I am here to share God's word a little bit with you. We can disagree on pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, and all of that, but in the final analysis, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Yes, I've soon found out that I was not going to die on that hill. It's not worth it to me because I know where I'm going. I don't know when. God hasn't consulted me on any of that. But one thing we can all agree on, when we leave this planet by death, or Christ takes us all together, we're going to be with him forever, ultimately. Doesn't that encourage your heart this morning to know that? That Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, and you say, well, I'm saved. Well, like I said before, that's the beginning. You have a passport. I got my passport when I was 15 years old. 72 years later, God turned the page on me. He turned the page on me in such a way that it could have derailed me. Did not. I think I told somebody last week, I saw a picture of a man during the Civil War, and he was not brand new, but the picture showed him with this musket ball right between his eyes. Do you know that the man lived? The man lived, and the musket ball was taken out piece by piece by piece. You know, on December 16th, I felt like I was shot between the eyes with a musket ball. And God, I think, had to get my attention, and he did. So when I started coming out of my fog, I asked God, she's with you, I'm ancient, what do you want of me? Ever been in a place where you ask that of God? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? If you have time, read Psalm 40 and Psalm 90. They're a mouthful, I won't read them. But I pleaded with God for an explanation. I got nothing. What do I do? Ultimately, she's here with you and perfect. I'm here still, very imperfect, but I'm still here. And that's the way you are this morning. You're still here. I told the Lord, I'm yours. You want to take me home? Take me home. I thought that I had done that 72 years ago, but God turned the page on me, and I find out now, well, like Psalm 90, it seems to say, count every day, make sure that it's a day of complete obedience to God. You want this morning? You're still here. So you must want that this morning. I'm just encouraging you to ask God that same thing. What do you want me to do? I'm here. Oh, sure, we have to live here. I understand. We have to go to work, and we have to come home, and we have to raise kids, and we have a lot of things to do. But in light of that, how important it is that I am ready to go. I did eke a couple other thoughts out. The two things that keep coming back, hope and about him. I've already read John 14. But the Lord told his disciples then what he was going to do. What was going to happen? He'd be abandoned by his friends, killed by his enemies, denial, broken promises, ultimate death. What could be worse for them? In essence, he said, think less about present fears. Think much about your eternal home. Well, I now have time to think about that, because like I said before, I'm here. So what would he say to this generation totally? You know? What would he say to those who are... I think we're all like this and caught in this syndrome, that we can break bread and get up and talk about the ball game. I'm sorry, for me, it's going to impact me more than that. And I'm as guilty as anyone. I was looking at a survey of teenagers 18 to 24, this was a, are you happy or are you lonely? 14% checked very happy, 1 in 4 felt lonely. Hope all around is down drastically. You got hope, I heard it this morning. And we need to have that. Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe your dreams have been shattered. Maybe your body battles a disease. Maybe it's aging. I know that one. Many wonder if life is worth living. Now, I would assume from that, what I'm saying here is, those are not believers, not true believers. But you know, how many Christians get despondent? They do. Life happens, and life is messy. Yeah, the same survey said that 1 in 4, about 1 billion people, feel fairly or very loneliness. Loneliness is up. Optimism is sliding back. Of divorces, I think it's about 50-50 now, Christians and non-Christians. One of four have an anxiety disorder. 1 of 8 have suicidal thoughts. 1 in 7 deal with substance abuse. 1/2 of college students regularly experience anxiety, depression, fear, or suicidal thoughts. Young people find and have a struggle in finding meaning and purpose. I don't know your heart, and you don't know mine. God looks on the outward, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on a heart. So I can't get into your skin and know what your heart's like, and you, neither can you with me. But I can encourage you, and you can encourage me, which I have been terrifically encouraged in the last couple of months. I really have. I have friends that have come alongside, and they've just been magnificent. They're the type of people that love me, and I love them back. And that's part of this right here. Right here. And we were, because of my car situation, we were at our last church on Easter. And I know why my car was down, because I had both my boys with me. They went with me, which was an answer to prayer. Really was. Anyway, maybe you can relate, I'm not sure, and maybe you can't. But here's God's therapy in all this. He says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't see the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see. Help me. Here. Short interlude.
Is that in 2 Corinthians you're talking there?
Yeah. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4, I'm sorry, 4, 17 and 18.
Thanks.
How far to get? For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. We have to face the problem. I have to face the problems of this life by focusing on the next one. And it's really easy to get derailed. I know that one really well. And the future look around you. I won't delve into the political situation or the world situation or any of that, but I know who holds tomorrow, and so do you. God holds tomorrow. Isn't that magnificent that we can sit here? We celebrated the Lord's Supper just a few minutes ago, and we can sit here and just glory in the fact of the one who came to die for us. I can't fully take that in. I don't know if I ever have, but one of these days I'm going to be with him as you are. But the future is frightening. Our only hope is in Christ. On the day that the Lord ascended into heaven, two angels appeared in Acts 1:4. And this translation says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way you saw him go into heaven." I like the translation that says, why are you gazing? For some reason, that word just appealed to me. Jesus will come. He not may come. He not might come or possibly could come. He will come. He will come. We celebrated that pretty much 2 weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 4, 14, 19, and 20. I did read that, didn't I? "For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus. So we do not focus on what's seen, for what is seen is temporary." I just asked this morning, as I was looking at this, is the tomb of Jesus empty? Yeah. Did Jesus discard the shrouds and march out of the tomb? He sure did. The woman came and said, "Yes, we saw him." The disciples in the upper room saw him. 500 others saw him. So the New Testament asks us, did he rise from the dead? The answer is,
yes,
he did. So I think for Arden, anyway, he's got to live his life on tiptoe, ever looking upward to the skies. Maybe today's the day. When Jesus vacated the tomb, he populated the heart of humanity with hope. We have hope in his return. 3 decades after this, Peter wrote this. "Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our hope is centered on the bodily return of Jesus Christ. Peter declared, "The Lord will send Jesus, the one he chose to be the Christ, but Jesus must stay in heaven until the time comes when all things will be made right again." Made right. Not yet. Look around you. Look at the world. Things are not made right. When I went back to Westside for a short... How's my time going?
You're doing fine.
Okay. When I went back to Westside, I had about 3 guys with whom I had to talk to. Not that there was any animosity that I knew of, but I wanted to make sure. So I took them each out at separate times for a meal. And I said, "Is there anything between you and me?" Because in one case I had lead little crow, the other two everything was fine. But I needed to have that comfort. I needed to have that knowledge. And I'm telling you, maybe this hasn't happened to you, but have you ever had to go to somebody and say, "I was wrong, will you forgive me?" That's hard to do, okay? Really hard to do for me, anyway. Paul says in Philippians 3, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. That's what God's Word says, folks, the inspired Word of God. There's a fellow that I know, he says, oh, he's a carpe diem kind of a guy. You know, let's take care of stuff now and not think about tomorrow. Well, I'm sorry, I'm curious about the future. I'm also concerned about the present. But we can be both. We can be both. In 2 weeks, I'll be 89. I thought I'd be gone by now. But here I am for today. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I mean, I can't drive down my driveway and stop there and say, Lord, which way do I go today, right or left? I don't do that, but I have to be aware of what He wants of me today. And I would just suggest to you that maybe that's a question you can ask when you wake up in the morning and get into the Word a little bit. You say, what do you want of me today? Certainly you have some time that you can give, whatever that looks like. For it, like I said before, for everyone it's different. My journey is different than yours. I would not suggest that you have mine because you'd probably be gone by now. But I'm not. Matthew 24:8 says, all these events are the beginning of labor pains. I got into deep water. I'm starting to go into this passage on future events. And I didn't know that I was getting into such deep weeds. So I really had to just chop things away. So that's what you got today. I just would remind you, though, that in May 14th, 1948, what happened?
Israel became a nation again?
They did. They absolutely did. Harry Truman, in May 14, 1948, announced pretty much the beginning of the end. Because there's going to be so much go on with Israel that people often don't believe. Solid Christians, I think, don't believe. But it's going to happen. God's going to deal with them as He has. I have a choice. I can view the future through the eyes of fear or the eyes of faith. God tells us what to expect, not to scare us, but to prepare us. 500 years ago, sailors feared the horizon. They would fall off the edge. A pillar was erected, ne plus ultra, no more beyond. But then Columbus came, and the inscription was changed to plus ultra, more beyond. There is more beyond. I would just suggest, if you got the knot in there, remove the knot. Because Christ is coming, and you are all individual, as I am, and God has something for us. And I still feel that I received the musket ball, and maybe that's just an old man's way of looking at it. But it did happen. I saw the picture. And you know, you can't unsee stuff, as much as I like to sometimes. But that's all. That's all, folks. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace to us. We thank You for each other, Lord. And I just pray for each one here. Their heart is tuned to You, to looking ahead, not backwards. Help me, Lord, not to look backwards. I just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.